As you heard, we're in the middle of a series that we've entitled Love, Inc. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you have heard the latest and greatest and what's going on with this whole concept of love? Pastor Jim told you we started a new series called Love, Inc. last week. Love, I-N-C. Inc. is love in the name of Christ. And I'd like to ask you before we even get going, because I'll remind you where we were last week and we'll get into our message for this morning. But how many of you have heard kind of the latest and greatest in our culture, our society, around the world with what's being said and done about love? You see, this is one of the greatest words, one of the greatest gifts in all of creation. And I'm sad to say, I think that we as a society, really as a humanity, all the world, we've really cheapened this word and what it means. How many of you have heard love tossed about? I mean, in a place like this, we turn the high school into a church every Sunday morning. But you know what? Monday through Friday, this high school is filled with teenagers. How many of you know the love that gets thrown around in an atmosphere like this, where maybe it's a young man pressuring a young girl? Oh, come on, I love you. Come on, we love each other. Maybe a young girl pressuring a young man. How about the way it's used nowadays, even in terms of faith? I read an article yesterday. Some of you may be familiar with Salon Magazine. It's not exactly a theological pillar in the industry of writing, but somebody forwarded me an article, and in this article, the author was describing what she called a radical transformation. In this article, what she did was basically say, hey, you know what? I used to think those Christians were a bunch of wackos, but now I am one. And let me tell you how I'm kind of adjusting to my new faith, this newfound love for Christ. And here's the thing. I went into the article thinking, well, this is great. This is one of those places and one of those people that used to really fight against the faith. And now she's going out and purposely telling people, hey, look, this is what it's all about. Sadly, as I began to read the article, what I found was a person who I believe was having a love affair with religion and not a faith-based love, not a God-like love, not a holy love for Christ. Now, I want to be quick to say, nobody can ever say who is or who is not saved or who is or who is not a Christian. So this is not that kind of a perspective. But what I found in this article was somebody who was talking an awful lot about religion and really still trying to distance themselves from a specific, overt love for Christ. And they started to use some examples of some less than pillar examples of the Christian faith. So I looked at that and I thought, now here's another example where somebody is going out and telling the world, hey, look, this is Christian love and I'm excited about it. And even there, when you put it under the microscope, when you shine the light of truth on it, you realize even that language of love is really being misunderstood and misaligned. Or how about just the religious love altogether? Today's Sunday morning, about 36 hours ago, Osama bin Laden and his group put out another tape. Another tape talking about threats and massacres that are to come, where the American people are going to be destroyed and wiped out. Men, women, children. Why? If you were to ask the radical Muslims, they would tell you, ultimately, it's out of love and reverence for their God. That what's happening and these repercussions ultimately go back to what they would say is a love for their God. I mean, give me a break. These things are so warped and so twisted. They've taken the purest word that we have, and they've absolutely warped and twisted it beyond recognition. I want to share something with you. It's in your bulletins. You know, this love that the world is now touting, whether it's the cheapened, selfish, hormone-driven love that might get tossed around in this room Monday through Friday, or if it's the hate-inspired, counterfeit to love that's thrown around in world affairs. Really, what I want us to take a look at today is, you know what? The world's love is just downright ugly. Holy love, God's love, is beautiful. In your bulletins, you have another acronym. Some of you know that I really like to use these because I think they make for great memory triggers. And what I want you to know is that agape love, and we'll learn about agape love here this morning. God's love, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I want to walk through this with you. In your bulletins, I'd encourage you to fill this out. And keep this with you. Keep this as a reminder. When we talk about love in the name of Christ, this is a beautiful love. It's not one of these counterfeits. First of all, beautiful. God's love is beautiful. B is for beautiful. You see, God-like love, this agape love, this is the greatest reflection, the living example of Christ that we have in all of humanity. Do you want to see Jesus? You want to see a loving God? Don't look for a person. Don't go to the Pope. Don't go to a preacher. Don't go to a church. Don't go to a denomination. Seek out love, true love. That is the living example of Christ-likeness. We'll see in a minute that that is absolutely not only the best reflection of Christ, but it's the call of every Christian. Secondly, E, true love, God-shaped love, is everything. You saw earlier in the week at the foundation of this series when we talk about Love, Inc., Jesus himself were asked, hey, all this stuff that you talk about, Jesus, you're the Messiah. What's the most important thing of all of our 600 laws, of all the commandments, of everything we know? What's most important? And Jesus answered and he said this, all of the law and all of what the prophets had to say over time boils down to this. Love God, love people. You have this true agape, God-like, holy love. And if you truly have it for God and for other people, you've got everything. How about A, able? God-like love is able. Our God is able. 1 John 4:7, and we'll look at this next week, tells us that God is love. So what about this holy love? Holy love is able. It's able to conquer anything and everything. You see, no matter what you're going through, if you're a Christian, if you've got this God-shaped heart and agape love inside, you're promised that you will spend eternity in heaven. Our God is able. There was a fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King says, hey, if you don't end up bowing down to me and turning from your God, I'm going to bind you so tight, I'm going to throw you in that fiery furnace. These three guys say, our God is able. Even if you throw us in, our God is able. That love, that agape love, is able to carry you through the fiery furnaces of life. See, the beauty is, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what? Even if you turn us to ashes, our God is able, because I will go directly to heaven. All right, how about this? T, godly love is timeless. The God of the universe, the God who was before time, in his word, in the Bible, we get the story of the beginning of creation. We know how to live in the here and now, and we're given the promises and the details of the future. God's love, this agape love, is absolutely timeless. The God who had no beginning and has no end gave you this timeless love as a gift. How about I? B-E-A-U. Kim knows I'm a horrible speller. I had to check. B-E-A-U-T-I. Godly love is inclusive. Last week we looked at John 3:16, and I camped for a second on that word, whosoever. For God so loved the world, not a certain group, not a certain denomination, not the clean lily white folks. For God so loved the world that whosoever, don't you let anybody talk you into some kind of exclusive religious club. You know that, oh, well, you've got to be like us. You've got to look like us, think like us, talk like us, sound like us. No, you've got to have a love for God and a love for people. and a saving faith, understanding that it's grace, God's gift of grace that saves us. With that, you've got all that you need. How about this F? Agape love is faith-shaped. You show me somebody's faith, and I'll tell you about their love. You show me somebody who's got a selfish faith. Hey, God, give me this. Hey, God, give me that. I can tell you about their love or their imitation of love. Show me somebody that's got a counterfeit or hypocritical faith. You know, just religious. Not really truly in love with God. Not truly in relationship with Jesus. And I'll show you a hypocritical love that's got a real good exterior, but it's kind of hollow on the inside. Show me a faith and a phony, empty God like Allah, and I'll show you a fake love that's truly hate. Show me somebody who's got a heart after the Lord, and I'll show you a love that just is as pure can be. Agape love's unearned. It's a gift. We're told over and over and over again in the Bible that this is a gift of grace. You don't get agape love because you've earned it. You don't work hard enough to get it. You don't figure it out. You receive it as a gift. It's unearned. And lastly, L. Agape love is likable. Likable. What an odd sounding thing, isn't it? Imagine that, to be absolutely likable. How often do you hear about love in the church and it's with somebody pounding you down with all the do's and don'ts, or pounding you down with what you have to do to fit in? I wish I had a nickel for every person that was bruised with a love punch with a Bible. Agape love, true holy love, is likable. We saw it last week in Luke 15 as Jesus told three parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. That passage begins with the story being told that the sinners and the tax collectors came around Jesus to hear him. He was likable. If Jesus were here today, you would like him. He wouldn't be these holy rollers, you know, these ones that are all about telling you how you've got to make it work just the way they say so, or else you're going to go to hell. There is a real hell. And those that don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will end up there. But that has nothing to do with how we do church, whether or not you wear a tie, whether or not you're in this building certain numbers of days a week. It's a heart thing. It's all about the heart. So Love Inc., our graphic here, we're doing a series on love in the name of Christ, because I think that it's high time we, at least as a local church family, if not as a culture and as a society, take back this word that God has given us and to at least understand its true meaning. Last week, I gave you another acronym. I said, when we talk about holy love, I want you to think of God. Nice, short, and sweet. Holy love equals God. G-O-D. The G we looked into with John 3:16, that holy love is the ultimate gift. It came through the gift, capital G, of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We saw that Jesus is not only the standard, but also the source of true love. Then we went to Luke 15 and we saw the story, the three parables. And we saw that the O of God, that agape love, true holy love, is all about outreach. It's about pouring out. It's about seeking to bless. How often today our love means, what's in it for me? How often today we talk and throw around words like love when we're really talking about our self-interest? Agape love is about pouring out. God's love is pouring out, looking to bless others, to save others. It's not me-driven. It's a pouring out kind of love. And last week I told you that the D in God was in description of the definition of love, and that we would cover that this week, and that's exactly what we're going to do. You see, this week, as we look at this whole idea of loving God and loving people, last week we saw the source, we saw the standard, and we saw the focus of holy love. This week we're going to define it. And I said, you know what, before we even get into this, because you could ask 1,000 people and get 1,000 different definitions. What is love? Can you imagine? I mean, you could get everything from, you know, when I hug a rock, I feel love, to true Christian love, to parental love, to I love cheeseburgers, you know, I love my dog. You could take this across a full spectrum. But you know what? It's not about trying to figure out who's got the best idea. It's about trying to get down to truth and plugging it into our everyday life. So I say, let's take a look at what love truly is. You can see up above, love is, that's the name of our message for this morning, and we're going to take a look at it through God's perspective. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to take a look at the first three verses. I'm sorry, the first eight verses, then we're going to come back and look at the first three. Here's the thing, though. We've got to understand, when we talk about love, and here I am telling you that the world's got all these different definitions, I want you to know that back in biblical times, there were different definitions as well. We tend to use one word. One of the beauties of studying other languages is that English tends to kind of batch things together. Hebrew and Greek did a wonderful job of taking different concepts, different slivers of words. We say, I love my wife, I love my children, I love cheeseburgers, I love my dog, I love the Patriots, I love Diet Coke. You can play this thing out all the way. In Hebrew and Greek, there are oftentimes different words for different meanings. And I want to show you some of the biblical expressions of this word love that we use. First of all, I want to show you the most common word for love in the Old Testament. Ahib. Ahib is the most common word for love in the Old Testament. Now, this love is very similar to ours. It's got a very general set of connotations. It has application in a lot of places. When we switch over to the New Testament, then we get to this word storge. Storge is how you'd pronounce it in Greek. This is the natural affection kind of love, kind of the love that a mother would have for a child. You know, something where you say, ah, oh, that's nice, and that's normal. That's to be expected. Next, we have philia. This is a brotherly love. This is where we get our name Philadelphia. If you've ever heard Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Philia is that kind of brotherly love where you're strong companions, you're tight. How about eros? Now, this is an interesting word for love because the New Testament avoids it. Nowhere in the New Testament will you find the root word eros. Here's why. This is the sensual desire type of love, most commonly associated with sexual intimacy. And the New Testament writers and God himself chose not to use that word, largely in part because in the Roman Greco times, this word had become so perverted. There was such sexual sin going on in their culture that to even use the word would bring into close proximity a stain and an ugliness. Kind of like what I'm talking about today, how our world has taken this word and just totally turned it upside down, gutted it of all of its beauty, and now we just throw it around like cheap coinage. So eros, while a very common and very popular word for love in their day, is absolutely without any representation in the New Testament. It's an interesting statement through its avoidance. Well, lastly, we've got agape love. Agape. This is Christ-like love. And an interesting thing here, this was not a common word in their time. This word was chosen because it is truly unique, as God's love is. You see, these other loves, they're all aspects of love. And they can be healthy. They're not wrong. They're not bad. But here's the thing. If the agape love, if the Christ-like pouring out selfless love is not in control of the others, this gets to be a real messy and ugly picture. Think about it. How many times do you think love was thrown around and had no meaning whatsoever? It gets so general, like in our day, a heap. You know, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I say it because I'm probably supposed to. This is a good place for me to say love. But truth be known, inside, I've watered that word down so much it really doesn't mean anything to me. Or how about the storge? You know, yeah, I say love. It's expected. you know, yeah, I mean it. But I don't have the inner core of my being tied to the very essence of this word. Philia, love you, brother. When it's said and it doesn't really have any meat behind it. Eros, you know, got a little twisted there. Maybe it's got a little bit too much in there. If you don't have this agape love driving all other aspects, this gets really, really ugly. Now, agape love, what is it? This is the Christ-like love that says, you know what? I am going to love you even when you are unlovely. Pastor Jim quoted Romans 5:8, one of my favorite verses as well, that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Oh, I'm sorry. You mean once I got good enough, Jesus died so that once I cleaned up my act, I could... No. While you were yet sinners, Christ died. That's agape love. That's the ultimate expression of love. It's the selflessness of a creator God. God who said there was nothing and I will create something. I will give a universe. I will speak it into being. I will give humanity life. I will give you the ability to spend eternity with me in paradise. Why? Because I love you. I had no obligation to do it, says God. He did it out of love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave to die on the cross his one and only Son, that whosoever, this, my friends, is agape love. So I say this, agape love, we need to understand that it's God's motive and it's our mission. God did what he did out of love. He created out of love. He sent himself. Imagine this. You're in paradise. You're in heaven. You've got everything. You've created everything. And you say, you know what? They've really messed it up. I'm going to go ahead and go down on purpose. I'm going to leave here. I'm going to go down into humanity. I'm going to give them my life that they would know eternal life. I will die for their sins, so that if they will simply confess a faith in me and love me with their heart, that they could regain access into an eternity in heaven with us. Amen to that. That, my friends, is real deal love. I want to read to you John 13, verses 34 and 35. I want you to see that it's easy to talk about this from God's perspective. Say, oh yeah, boy, isn't God wonderful? Here's where the rubber hits the road. What are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? How do we embrace this mission, this call? Let me tell you what Jesus himself said. This is John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. This is our mission, to take this agape love and to live it. He says this, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, the loving of one another, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's it. That's the whole thing. You see, agape love is itself an expression of God. We've been given this call. This is what we're charged to do. Why? Because if we're going to be children of God, then we need to take this expression of God and share it. You say, well, I don't know if I can. Well, here's the good news. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can. Because the Bible tells us that the moment you become a child of God, that you've accepted Jesus, that the Holy Spirit then will come and fill you. And you've got the blessing of having God with you, God inside you. And the Bible tells us that the moment that happens, we receive what's called the fruit of the Spirit. The attributes of having God inside you. And we're told that there are many characteristics. And you know what? The first characteristic that's shared is love. You see, love is not an emotion. Love is not even technically a gift. It's an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. It becomes who you are on the inside. So we talk about this sometimes in other areas. You know, somebody said, well, I've got to find a love that I've got to plug into this. You don't have to find it. It's in you. If you're a child of God, it's in you. What you have to do is embrace it. It's already there. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And we know this to be an essence and a characteristic of God because, again, in 1 John 4, he tells us God himself is love. So here's the thing. I'm going to spend some time with you now here at the blackboard, and I'm going to come down here and show you a couple of things. Ultimately, when you get down to it, the reality is that love, the way the world talks about it, is cheap. God's love, agape love, it is so misunderstood and it is so often maligned that God said, you know what? I'm going to give you a love is passage so that you can hold up all these counterfeits and all these lookalikes, and I want you to see exactly what love is. So we're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through the first part of verse 8. I'm going to actually write some of this down for you. I want you to see where God himself says love is. Listen to this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That, my friends, is agape love. That's the real love. Now, what I want to do is come over here and I want to make a list of this because I want us to be able to see, show you what we're talking about here. As you go through that passage, we see that, first of all, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envy, boastful, proud, rude, self-seeking, it's not easily angered. Think about your life as you look at these and the places where you apply love. It's not the recording of wrongs, doesn't keep score. Doesn't delight in evil. Now, why does Paul say all this? I'll tell you why. Because there were people who were representing this and calling it love. He goes on, as you recall, he comes back and he says, love rejoices in truth. And I like this part, always. Love always. Always. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. And love always perseveres. And then, as we get to the very beginning of verse 8, and I think this kind of covers both of them, he says, love never, what a great word, never fails. That is real love. Now, we're going to spend some time together down here. You say, all right, Jeff, now what? What's going on? I want you to think about that list. Excuse me. If you have your Bible, you can read the passage. If not, you've got it. Okay, here's the thing. I want you to look at this table and I want you to think about this list of love. Okay, we know what it is and we know what it isn't. I want to give you a quick look at the contrast between the way the world sees love and the way God sees love. Here's the thing. I've got quite a bit of ingredients up here. And I want you to see kind of an analogy. We're going to take a look at the God-like agape love, the faith-shaped love. And I'm going to call this that love. So as we look at it, okay, it's pure. This is the good stuff, right? It's patient. It's kind. It rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes. It always perseveres. And it will never, ever fail. That's pure love. Amen? It would be very refreshing. It would strengthen us. It would fill us. Pure love. Well, we all know that the world has its way of working on us, right? I would say to you, here's regular love. Here's everyday love. Here's the, you know, I can do just fine without your Jesus, thank you. You know, you religious wackos, get out of here. I'm religious. You know, I don't need your agape. You don't talk Greek to me, buddy. I understand love. This is that love. Let me show you that love. Now, that's not to say that everybody starts off way, way down in the deep end, right? I'd say there's some good stuff in everyday love. Fair enough? But here's what I'd say. Balsamic vinegar. Let's call this envy. I think, truth be known, there's some envy out there. Now, I'm going to drink one of these before we're done. Let's say hot sauce, a little Tabasco, a little boastfulness, not exactly the purest of love. Now, some of you may say as I'm going through this, yeah, you know, I don't have any of that. I made sure I got quite a bit up here. Because truth be known, there aren't any of us on our own that are over here. Question is, which one or how many of these concoctions are in your love at the way you sit by yourself? I kind of like this one. Red Bull. Some high energy. Some of you got a little bad stuff with some kick. Little Red Bull. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. Wanted to do this, too, because I want to make sure we're perfectly clear. Because my glass is kind of small. So I want you to get a good look at what happens. Because you know what? This gets real ugly and real nasty. I forgot about my balsamic vinegar. It's just kind of a big version of the natural love. You know, the everyday stuff. All right. For those fiery times where we lose our temper, definitely some of that. I see some of you. I better go double. Yeah, there's definitely some of that. When I'm on the other, you know what? When I get on the other side of the bridge, I see a lot of that. All right, we get some of that, the fiery stuff. Green tea. This is the stuff that's supposed to be good for you, but really, you know, it's just a bunch of garbage. You know, we got some of that. That stuff abounds. How much stuff do you hear about in today's life and today's world? Oh, this is great for you. This is what you need. You know, I think of all the self-help garbage that's out there. You know, I'm not opposed to helping yourself, but when you think that you've got the answer, forget it. Along those same lines, we got the Gatorade crowd. You know, is it in you? Oh, I got a lot of bad stuff in me. A lot of bad stuff. All right, how about, by the way, a little side note here. This soy sauce, You've got a team of seven going to China from June 4th to June 14th as a church family. Amen. You're sending a team to China to follow up on the church that you planted last year. So for a little spice, a little Asian spice, you know, because we do have an international flair, I know that sometimes we'll sin in the name of some other things. You know, a little Asian concoction there. How about, you wouldn't go anywhere without your Starbucks, would you? This is the trendy stuff. This is the trendy love. You know, that real, Well, I should have opened it before I started. There we go. That's it. Can't keep us down. The trendy love, you know, the stuff that's cutting edge. This is what everybody says. This is the good stuff. All right. Oh, yeah. Little Joe. Oh, look at that, huh? Is that good? I wanted to have some Alka-Seltzer just for the visual because that would have really fired things up. Put a little mustard into your life. Huh? How many of you put just, you know, I don't put a lot on. It's just a little added twist. And that little added twist, you know, has nothing to do with love. Call it a condiment of your emotions, but it had nothing to do with love. Oh, yeah. Now, I want you to know at this time, I'm willing to take volunteers. I don't have to do this myself. If somebody would like to come up and help me with this, no, I'm just kidding. But we will put, oh, yeah. Lots of times we think we're just putting a little extra on. In reality, we're just perverting what is true love. Ah, last one. Egg beaters. So those sins that come early in the morning. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've been there where just even the beginning of your... Oh, wow. Even the beginning of your day starts off with what you think is going to be a love fest. In reality, it had nothing to do with love. Certainly not Christ-like love. Well, if we go through the list of the do's and the don'ts. God's way. Pure love. Right? Now, you and I both know which one I want to drink. God's way? Oh, you say, but Jeff, you're all about being the real deal. And the bridge here, we don't talk about the fluff. We talk about where the rubber hits the road. So here's the thing. The reality of life is that even when you start with the best of intentions, if this is about you and what you're going to do, there are just all different kinds of challenges and distortions and sins that creep into our lives. Even when we're doing the best we can, that can happen. See, but it started off as pure love. Some of you can know about this when you look at your relationships as husbands and wives. As a Christian, I used to be real pure in my love for God, and stuff's just clouding in. I was filled up. I thought I was good. Now I can't even see through it. Say, well, what in the world are we going to do here? That's a big version of this one. We're talking about love, agape love. What are you going to do? Are you going to live without it? No. Too many of us live without it. We live with either this or maybe this. Too many of us are living without God's agape love. Say, well, Jeff, thank you very much. I appreciate the commentary on my life. Not exactly an uplifting message. What am I supposed to do? Well, here's the thing, and this is key. It's the understanding of what love truly is. It's knowing in advance what to look for and what to understand. And that when you see some of these other things, when you feel the selfishness starting to kick in, when you feel the pride, oh, I've been a part of this church from the very beginning. when you feel the boastfulness. You know, I was saved at 5. All the stuff that creeps in, the vinegar, the mustard, the Red Bull. When you feel that, what do? Well, I want you to know that if you'll accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Lord means to be supreme in your life. Savior means just that, that he'll save you. And I want you to understand that he will save you from this. So what do? Which one? You going to drink the clouded one? Is that the love you want, Pastor Jeff? Or are you going to drink that God-awful mess? What do? Well, I want you to know that you, as a Christian, if you'll accept Christ, have the option of tying into this agape love to receive this gift. And if you'll receive this gift, to understand that you in turn are obligated, you have a responsibility to share that gift. You say, well, I don't know too many takers that want this gift, Pastor Jeff. Well, here's the beauty of being a Christian. You see, when you accept Jesus into your life, it's no longer a static equation. Every time you say, oops, forgive me, Lord, if you mean it from your heart, he'll forgive you. You see, agape love, it's not it's not emotion, it's devotion. And when you give your life to Christ and you're devoted to him, he will fill you up and he will refresh you daily. Some of you saw me do the example a few weeks ago with the pinholes in the cup. Okay, you go to him and you ask, say, Lord, fill me, help me. And as the pinholes are draining you, it's God himself who's filling you. Well, here's what I want you to know today. If you have a heart that looks like this glass, or if you have a heart that looks like this glass, if you'll come to Jesus and you'll keep coming to Jesus, watch what happens. It's not the same anymore. Jesus has a way of cleansing you, taking what was ugly and making it pure. Give your life to Jesus, and you don't ever have to live with that cheap love ever again. Take a look at the bowl. That's still real, and it's all around you every day. And you know what? If I were to tip that glass and resubmerge it into that yuck, it would quickly, quickly turn back to the old way. That's why it's so important that we just keep coming. Say, Lord, help me. Lord, fill me. I need your help. And that becomes your heart. That's the new way. Now, I want to close with this. I told you this is God's look at love is. Let me show you one other piece. We started at verse 4. I want to read to you the first 3 verses of that same chapter 13. And this is so key. You see, if you got this part, but you miss what I'm about to tell you, you miss the whole thing. Jesus can do this, and he wants to do this. He wants to purify you. He wants you to live with the purity of agape love. But here's the thing. Verses 1, 2, and 3 say this. Oh, I'm sorry, it says this. It says, if you speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. If you have not love, if you have not agape love, you are a resounding gong, clanging cymbals. If you get it all, but you don't have love, you're nothing. but you don't have love. God's word says, you're nothing more than a clanging gong, cymbals just banging away. He goes on and he says this. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. This is the condition of your heart. And I want you to see that no matter who you are or where you've been or how stained you think you are, Jesus will clean you, purify you, renew you. You will truly be born again. Amen. Here's the challenge to all of us. If all you do is go out and talk, talk is cheap. Bible tells us. If you talk about all the good stuff, if you go and give to the good stuff, if you have a faith that'll move mountains, but you don't have this love, you're just a clanging set of cymbals. You have nothing, and you will gain nothing. Jesus is saying, Paul's saying here, if you're not the real deal, if you're not filled with devotion instead of emotion, if you're not living with this agape love as the face of your faith, you have nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I close with this. This agape love, understand, this is God's gift. God's gift, our gift. God's gift to us, and we're to share this, our gift to others. It's the face of our faith. It's victory. Love never fails. This is the fuel of faith. And ultimately, this is the purified love. This is the real deal love. And it can be yours. God wants you to have it. Christ died on the cross so that you could have this. Let's pray. Let's pray for agape. Father God, I come to you now and I thank you so much for this love, this pure love. The love that is what you intended love to be. Not what we've cheapened it to. Not what some radical extremists have perverted it to. But this love that you give us, the absolute essence of Christ. Lord, I pray that you will help us to receive it. And I pray even more that you'll help us to share it once we've got it. In Jesus' name, amen.